In our remaining minutes together tonight, I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 16. I want to continue tonight in our series that we've been doing on Wednesday nights relative to waiting on the Lord to do His work. So easy to run ahead of God, to think we don't need God, that we can do it quite ably without His help, and the consequences can be very dire. And so we've been working our way through. We looked at the book of Ruth, and we looked at how the Lord worked in that whole situation with Elimelech, Naomi, Ruth, how God was working in their lives about learning to wait on the Lord. And now we're looking at the life of Abraham. And this has been such a blessing to me just studying this on my own, because the Lord was very gracious to Abraham. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 15, it says, "And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." And what's interesting to me is that there's nothing said about the fact that he had rushed ahead of God, had a child with Hagar, Ishmael. That's not mentioned in the Hebrew passage. It simply states, "And so after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise." And that's a beautiful picture, folks, of grace and forgiveness. When God forgives you of your sin, He puts your sin out of His memory. Now, wouldn't that be a lesson for us all? We remember everything that everybody's ever done to us, ever. Right? We shouldn't. We shouldn't, but we remember. We see somebody walking up the street, and we go down, we turn another way. I don't want to see them. They said something about me years ago. What is that? God, when He forgives, puts it out of His memory, as far as the east is from the west, in the deepest sea, and He remembers them no more. We, on the other hand, are very quick to remember every little detail of how we were miffed, how we were mistreated, how this was said that hurt me so deeply, and we can't seem to get over things. But God, in His gracious goodness, forgave Abraham and doesn't bring it up in the book of Hebrews. It just simply says of him, "And so after he patiently endured," and we look at it and say, "Oh, wait a minute, God. Abraham and Sarah came up with a plan almost 14 years from the promise given in Genesis chapter 15, here in chapter 16, to find another way because they hadn't had a baby yet. Can you imagine being in your 70s and 80s and counting the years going by? 5 years has happened since the promise. This isn't gonna take place. 7 years, 9 years, a decade goes by. Now let's put this in real life. What would you be thinking? What would I be thinking? This is never going to happen. Year 14. Sarah comes to Abraham. Let's notice this, please. Now Sarah, verse 1, chapter 16. Abram's wife bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, "Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing." Now, had she consulted with the Lord yet about this whole matter of bearing a child? No. In her mind, because of her age and because of the number of years that have gone by, she's thinking God's forgotten. God's forgotten. And before we get too highly critical, Christian, and looking down our nose at Sarah, how dare she question God? We do it every day. All right? We do it every day. There are things that we do and we rush ahead of God and we do this, do that. We don't consult with God. We don't ask Him, "Lord, is this what you want me to do today? Is this how you want me to handle this situation?" We just do things, just like Sarah did things. She said, "Go into my handmaid Hagar and raise up seed." And so Abraham in year 14 says, "All right, Sarah, that's what you want us to do. I'll do that." And Hagar gets pregnant, and what is Sarah's response? "We have a child, a promised child." Oh, no. Not that response at all. Notice this, please. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah, verse 3, and Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. That is a very strong word in the Hebrew. Now, whose idea was this? Sarah. Okay? Yes, go into my handmaid. You know what I think? And I hate to be so, you know, I don't know how to put it. I'll just say this. I think she thought that Abraham couldn't have kids. And she was going to prove it. She wasn't the problem. And whenever Hagar got pregnant, now this is just real life. This is just real life. This is how cynical people can be. I'm not the problem. That was not the whole point of this. The miraculous was on God. Amen? That was His work. It was going to be a miracle anyway. The question is, when is God going to perform His miracle? How long do I have to wait? And so Abram, who wants to just back away from this whole situation, says to Sarah, Sarah, she's your handmaid. You do with her what you think's best. And what happens? Hagar grabs Ishmael and heads off into the wilderness. There, while she's there, an angel appears unto her and says to her, what are you doing? He said, I'm running from my mistress. She's going to kill me. She's very angry with me. And the angel told her to do what? Go back. Submit yourself to your mistress. You stay under her authority. I'm going to make of Ishmael a great nation. So I want you to know that. However, two things. Number one, this nation that's born through Ishmael would be a problem for Israel up to this very minute. Secondly, in the book of Galatians in chapter 4, we find that Hagar is used as an illustration for the law being sent away, and Sarah is used as a picture of grace. Now, only God can do that. Was Sarah gracious to Hagar? No. But the picture is used of Hagar being the law, being sent away, and Sarah, the mother of promise, the one that would bring forth the child, as God said, God's miracle, God's work, it would happen, and she was a picture of grace. The fact that she had a child at her advanced age was a message of grace. Amen? That's exactly what it is. It's a picture of God's overcoming age in a woman's body and producing a child as God said that He would do. Now, folks, we are so impatient, are we not? It's so easy for us to run ahead of God, and we're going to do it this way because something's got to be done. God said He was going to give us one. I think God's forgotten. Abraham, you go in unto Hagar and raise up seed. Then when she gets pregnant, oh, this is the most horrible thing that's ever happened. But she was the one that set it all up. How fickle we are. How fickle we are. But then, when I believe that Abram went before God and asked forgiveness for what had happened, because you see, it would be another 15, 16 years before the child of promise would come. You talk about a miracle for sure. Another 15 years would so would pass, and then she finally has this child. God performed the miracle. And God looks back, and He's forgotten all that that's happened before. And He says, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Let me read that verse to you in the Amplified. because it's put a little bit differently. Then Abraham waited patiently and he received what God had promised. Who had promised? Not Hagar, not Abraham, not Sarah, but God had promised that. We can learn much if we'll just allow God to work in our hearts. We can learn much because the Bible tells us that the Old Testament was written for our admonition and learning. That's what Paul told the Corinthian believers. We can learn if we would let the Word of God speak to our hearts. We must be patient. What about when there's pressure on that we've got to do something? We must be patient. What if a lot of time has gone by? We must be patient and wait on the Lord. God can do miraculous things. Yes, I still believe that God does miraculous things because I've seen Him do it. He has done so many things. He has saved so many souls that people thought wasn't possible that they could be saved. And then they get saved. I remember Wayne telling about a friend of his, Clarence. He was in his 80s. Wayne went to visit him in the hospital. He was dying of cancer. Led him to Christ. Clarence became a believer in Christ. His whole life was transformed. Wayne would go visit him. They would read the Bible together. It was just a wonderful thing that happened, but his wife and his children didn't think so. They were angry. They were upset that their dad, that they had known all these years for what he was known for, his mouth, his attitude, was totally changed when he came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Can God take a filthy, vile sinner and make him into a saint? Glory be to God. Yes, that's a miracle. That's not something we can produce. That's only something that God can produce. And we've seen God do miraculous things through the years. Things that we could not control. Things that were out of our control of being able to do anything. And God stepped in and did it through His power. Beyond our ability to be able to process. Yes, God still. And we have to learn to wait. Wait. Waiting is a hard thing, isn't it? I believe, and I'll just give you my opinion here, it's the hardest thing to do in the Christian life is to wait. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. I remember learning the little song that went with that back in youth group days. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. You've got to wait, and then what follows the waiting? Courage. Courage to just keep on what? Waiting. Lord, you're not moving very fast. Well, the Lord has His time clock. He works on His time, and He's always on time when it comes to His children. I want to encourage you tonight. We're going to look at a few other examples from the Bible. Abraham, godly man, overreacted to the situation. A lot of time had gone by and raised up seed. That wasn't the promised one. Wasn't the promised one. God in His grace tells Hagar, I'm going to make a great nation out of Ishmael. But he's not the promised one. You go back to your mistress. I'm still going to bring about the promised one through Sarah. That's what I'm going to do, through Sarah. Did it happen? Yes. Did it happen immediately after all this? No. Long period of time extended beyond. Patience. Patience. We live in a very impatient world, do we not? I can prove it. You want to know how impatient you can be? They ought to take the word fast off of the food and just have food. You know, fast food, uh-uh. You go to a lot of these places, but some of these places you can just sit and sit and sit And you can imagine what your onion rings look like when they come out. You know, you just don't know how long they've been sitting or something else, or maybe you're frosty. How many of you like melted Frosties? How many of you have gotten a melted Frosty? Yeah. It comes out and you can pour it out. You know, it's not a Frosty anymore. It's a fluid. And, you know, why? Because you were waiting forever to be able to get that. I'm not complaining because I don't eat Frosties. But I know what it's like to sit in lines that are supposed to be fast and they're slow. How many of you know what a fast lane is on the interstate? Is it fast? No, because all the slow people are in the fast lane. They don't understand you move right to go slow and the left is for fast. But on our trip, we were like, I mean, I was just, my eyes were rolling up in the back of my head in the fast lane behind people that were going extremely slow. Oh, look at the birdie flying by. Oh, wow, did you see the deer go bouncing off into the woods? Okay. Well, that's nice. But there's some people that are not looking at the bunny rabbits and the birds. They're trying to get from point A to point B. Move over to the right and watch them on the right-hand side. All right. And let the other fast people go by on the left-hand side. I know that's way over our heads, right? But some people want to get there faster than others. And we have a way of thinking, Christian, that everything is left lane, right? That's the way I'm supposed to live my life. No, not always. Sometimes things happen quickly, but the things that are the best for us often take time. How many of you found that to be true through the years? I've seen it so many times. The things that God works, it takes time for things to develop. We want everything instant, instant, instant. My wife's at home and I've been fixing food for her. And she said, I really want to have some cream of wheat. And I was like, I don't like cream of wheat. I think the devil invented it myself. I went in there, and my first try at it, I turned out something that looked like mortar, okay? And I took it to my wife, and I said, honey, I have struggled with this. Would you try it? And she said, honey, that looks very much like mortar. And I said, taste it. And she said, it tastes like mortar. So I picked it back up again, and I took it back in there, and we did it again until I got it right. I used up a whole box of cream of wheat. But, you know, I found out something. You can't rush cream of wheat. You got to take your time with it. You have to stop the microwave. Stir it up a little bit. Put it back in. I'm not that kind of a person. I just want to nuke it and be done. Right? Nuke it and be done. But you got to massage cream of wheat. All right? I told my wife, I said, honey, you better heal real quick because you're going to have a lot of mortar served up over the next few days if you keep asking. If it was grits, I could do it. But cream of wheat, not so much. I want to get it done and get it out. And that's not the way cream of wheat works. And I'm going to tell you something, the Christian life doesn't work that way. Not everything's instant. Abraham found that out. Sarah found that out. Hagar found that out. She toted the worst of it because of what her mistress told her to do. And it was outside the plan and will of God. Don't rush ahead of God. Slow down. Slow down and let God work. Amen? Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word. Oh, how wonderful it is. How it feeds our soul if we'll let it. How it will cause the thirsty to be satisfied if we'll drink it. I pray that you do a work in our hearts and lives, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good evening.